Tamir, this is, I know this is very, this is not not very nice of me to have kept you waiting for so long.
Oh, it's okay.
I'm a very unorganized person, I suppose. I should have done better. But before we're going to have a professor of economics who is going to explain to us how the economy worldwide is heading for a gigantic crash. We've been talking about some legal issues. You've understood most of what the medical issues of what of Dolores Cahill, what she talked about. And this is about how we are lacking moral competence. And that is the basic problem, why so many people are getting fooled. Because they haven't learned over the last 20 or 30 years, they haven't learned to use their brains to think about things and to discuss matters. It's easier for some of us to not discuss problematic situations, but just pull out a gun and shoot. So that's what he explained, and I think it sounds very plausible. It makes a lot of sense. It explains very well, at least in my mind, it explains very well how we have gotten into this situation. You explained to us yesterday at the Scotch and Sofa how the situation is in Israel. You have two different professions. You're a lawyer. You specialize in medical law. Sure. But you're also someone who does business in the who is in IT, in the IT business, right?
Yeah, in high technology.
High technology. As we have learned yesterday, a lot of people in Israel are, or that is the appearance that the mainstream media give, are not critical, but rather obedient as far as the vaccines are concerned.
Yeah.
I have to say goodbye.
Ja, danke.
I have a date.
Vielen Dank, Helen.
I would really love to see this lecture translated. I think
können wir, wir brauchen Ihre Materialien, weil Herr Turgal gerade sagt, das möchte er gerne selber nachlesen können.
Ja, ich habe hier auch mein Buch eingeblendet, was, weiß nicht, ob Sie sehen, nee, How to Teach Moral Competence.
Ja, ist das in Englisch?
This is book. This book is also translated into Chinese, and I'm invited to China more often than to Germany.
Oh, great.
They are really interested in this kind of learning.
We're going to forward this. We're going to forward this to you. Vielen Dank, Helind.
You see my book? I don't know.
Yes, yes. How to teach moral competence.
I will just take it from here about what you said. I think when you instill fear, and after fear comes also hatred in people's mind, then we as human, as the way I see and with the way we see the whole past year, is changing the way that people can think critically and analyze the situation. So unfortunately, it seems that history is repeating itself time and again. And we can see lack of education, but also using a very vicious tactics to pull people to wherever the regime or the so-called governments wants to take them. You spoke about the media, the mainstream media. I'm not sure there is a media anymore, mainstream media. I think the real media is what we are doing here. It's the open media.
Asked you just one question. Do you have the feeling, this is what some of the people who we spoke to today said, Renate Holzeisen, for example, do you have the feeling that more and more people are turning away from the mainstream media when they're looking for real information and trying to get this real information from other sources?
Yes, I believe so.
Uh-huh.
But then again, I'm saying people that have been instilled with fear, people that are following the normal trend, of just getting the information from the newspaper, and if it's in the newspaper, so obviously it's true, then it's harder for people to wake up. But as we talked yesterday, and we reminded this famous saying that refers to Abraham Lincoln, which probably is not, he was not the one to say it, but it doesn't really matter who is the one to have the copyrights.
Yeah.
But you can fool most of the people all the time, or some of the people all the time, or all the people some of the time, but you cannot fool all the people all the time. Mm-hmm. And now what we see is that there is something going on for a long time. Mm-hmm. So as long as time is passing, more people are waking up, because mm-hmm. you cannot fool all of them, as the saying goes. So we'll go back to the question about the media, the mainstream or so-called media. This is not a media. This is a propaganda channel, mm-hmm. channels. And normally you can see that these are big groups, like we see cooperation in everywhere, in economics, in health, in communication, mm-hmm. and they are being controlled by a lot of money. Mm-hmm. And instead of being what we are calling the fourth pillar of democracy, critical channels for information that ask the right questions, bring different opinions to the table, we see what I call a propaganda, because we see, and definitely in Israel, because I can speak about Israel maybe more than any other place in the world, because I'm connected to what's going on over there. Obviously, there is an agenda, and that agenda is being pushed over the population, and unfortunately, with a lot of success in the state of Israel. And it's kind of, I would say, symbolic that I'm here in Germany getting a help of people like you guys and all over the world that are saying a different, giving different information and having a different conversation, when in Israel, which is supposed to be, I think, the leader because of our history of freedom of speech and critical thinking, it became, I feel, and I represent many people in Israel right now that feels that the country, in terms of consciousness, is being hijacked, and that people are being fooled and maneuvered to believe that they are leading the world. People are so happy with the vaccination, they're almost there, getting out of this corona thing. It's just around the corner, and this is the lie that they are perpetuating to them, and many people are buying it. Mm-hmm. And it's very sad that this has happened in this country, when they don't know that in many other countries they're looking in Israel and they say, what? Mm-hmm. How come in France, 60 million people, almost nobody is rushing for vaccination? Same goes in Germany. Same goes in other countries. And some people, you know, when I talk to my close people, say, oh, maybe they don't have the vaccination. These countries are more wealthy than ours. If that was something that the governments or regimes would want to promote, they could promote it. That's not a problem for them. I think the public opinion is a little bit different over there. And and I have a lot of optimism that what's going on in Europe, in the state it's a big question mark, but in Europe will be the first to be the game changer, mm-hmm. For where we're heading forward. And I believe it's not getting our life back. We should go to a much better place than we were before, yeah, because where we were before, that was the ground to where we are now.
Exactly.
Okay.
I'll just quickly translate it. Also, auch Tamir Togal sagt, dass in seinem Land, in Israel, das Problem sein wird, dass es einen Mangel an Erziehung gibt, an der Erziehung, über die wir gerade mit Dr. Lind gesprochen haben, also an der Erziehung zu kritischem Denken, selbstständigem Denken, Dinge zu hinterfragen, zu diskutieren. Das ist aber gepaart, sagt er, mit den bösartigen Taktiken, den vicious tactics, die auch da, so wie überall auf der Welt, die offenbar koordinierte Politik, von den Konzernen koordinierte Politik fährt, also die Panikmache und natürlich die Propaganda in den Medien, die von den gleichen Leuten beherrscht werden, wie die inzwischen jedenfalls, wie diejenigen, die in die, wie die pharmazeutischen oder auch die Tech-Betriebe. Er sagt, das ist ein bisschen fast schon symbolisch, dass ausgerechnet er als Israeli hier ist und mit uns Deutschen darüber spricht, auch mit anderen Europäern, weil er jetzt gerade in Holland darüber spricht, wie man die Situation auflösen kann, wie man hier zu einem guten Ende kommen kann. Denn auch da hat er das Gefühl, dass die Gesellschaft, zumindest die Politik und die Gesellschaft, gekidnappt worden ist, gehijackt worden ist, sodass im Moment jedenfalls für viele Leute der Eindruck entsteht, es gäbe gar keinen anderen Weg. The ironic thing is that you're here in Germany, and I'm there's something I have to tell you, because my father, who was 13 when the war ended, so he was not a soldier in the army because he was too young, but he remembered everything. He remembered when he was born and raised in Bremerhaven, which is a port city. And he saw, during the war, planes crashing in the city with, he didn't know whether it was British or American or German planes that crashed there, but he saw the dead people. One of the planes crashed in front of their house, and he told me this story once, but it was obvious that it had left a deep impression on him. And the pilot was still in his pilot seat, but he was decapitated. That was shocking for someone who's 11 or 12 years old. And he wanted to find out what had really happened. And he watched all the old news shows when they finally reappeared on television. He read all the books, and he got me and my brother and sister interested in this as well. So I think in the end, he was very well aware of what had happened. Was he alive now? He died in 2006. He had an accident scuba diving in Australia. It was a good death. But were he alive now, well, he'd be rolling in his grave if he could see what was going on here. Now, the irony is that you're an Israeli. This country is the country that is responsible for 6 million people's deaths. And the irony is that you're here now, and we're talking about how we are worried, us here are worried, that something very similar to what happened back then is happening again in your country with your people, with a lot of people being completely unaware of the dangers of these vaccinations.
Totally. I would say that it's not the country of Israel is not responsible, but the country of Israel was founded on the basis of what happened in the Holocaust. About 6 million people died of our nation, which was about one third. And that basically we finally managed to get a small piece of land and build up and what we call a democratic and Jewish, actually Jewish and democratic society. Mm-hmm. So this is the principles of our state being established for. Mm-hmm. And somebody told me yesterday, a friend of mine, we talked about it, and he said, you know, it's the same. Once again, people of Israel are getting something in a majority, in a massive scale, from a Germany company. Now, it was here saying kind of a joke, but it's really because Pfizer is a German company. People don't know. However,
is it German or is BioNTech is German? Pfizer is, I think they're American or British.
Maybe. So yeah, but it's BioNTech like is German. It's coming from Germany. At least that's how we perceive it. Mm. However, this is being pushed by our own regime, our own leaders, our own propaganda, unfortunately, channels that brings people to the to a very dangerous belief. I ask people, why do you vaccinate yourself? Why do you go to vaccinate? And of course, there are two reasons could be for that. One of them would be that people are scared from Corona. So they say we have to make a decision between one bad thing to another bad thing. So which is worse, getting the Corona and have the risk around it, which is, by the way, easy to check. And when you see all the data and tables that making the comparison between past years and now, then you see there is no big change. But the claim from some people will say, yeah, because we took some extreme measures. And for that, my answer is always the same. Fortunately enough, we have Sweden. We have other countries as well, but Sweden is one of the most transparent, advanced, modern country that you can rely on the information we're getting then from there. And somebody sent me from a doctor's group that I'm connected with, the table from the past few years, the same table that you've been looking here. Actually, the only one that we should be focusing, which is mortality.
Yeah.
Because on mortality, you cannot have, it doesn't make a difference from what. It's total mortality. And if you have a pandemic and if you have a problem, even if it's a seasonal flu that is stronger than other years, you will see a correlation with the death rates. There is no other way. That's how it is in our nature. And I could see that they had 2020 on Sweden, they had an increase of mortality, but that increase of mortality is equal than what they had in 2015. And when you look at the years between, yes, there is it's a lower rate, but it's not a huge difference. And this country didn't have one day of lockdown, didn't have one day of closing the schools, and didn't have even one day with masks requirement from the population. So you see pictures, videos that are coming up from Sweden every day almost, when people want to show the rest of the world that they are going with the public transportation close to each other, they're going with the elevators close to each other. Yes, they said, Andreas Tegnell is the chief over there in health administration, and I think he's very brave, very professional as
and
well.
He's under a lot of pressure as well.
Totally. But he's a strong man and he cares for his people.
Yeah.
And when
he says, "You're not gonna fuck me again," because that's what he felt they did to him with the with the swine flu. He learned his lesson.
Okay.
He remembers how he was being lied to, so he's not gonna have that happen to his country again.
Exactly. And there are a lot of fake news here, and every time, every few months, I see something about Sweden that they're going back, they're making a U-turn, blah blah blah. This is not true.
And, good to hear.
Yeah, it's. It's interesting to hear what he said at the beginning, because again, people, because of fear, they just don't open their ears, they just don't listen. Mm-hmm. He said something very basic, very logical. He said the healthcare system is for the people, and it's not vice versa. So all these countries, like yours, like mine, are saying, "Oh, come on, we don't want to get to the point that doctors will have to choose who they're treating and who is not, they're not treating, and it's like they're going to have so many people and it's going to be overload, and we're going to have to open hospitals from the temporary hospitals via the army." And he says the same, but in the opposite way. He said, "First, we will have our healthcare system being overcapacity. Then we'll call to the army and get another temporary hospitals. And then if we cannot manage that, we will see what kind of other measure needed." But what happened in most countries besides Sweden is the opposite. They say, because of this claim, which is kind of noble, right? Because they want to save the doctors from making such a harsh decision. So I think, being a lawyer and dealing with what I'm dealing, it's really hard. So if you don't want to do it, don't get this profession. And exactly with doctors, if you don't want to face a hard decision, don't practice this profession. But if you are practicing this profession, well, first of all, you have to serve the people. The people don't have to be hurt by anything or changing their lives by anything because of this fear that something will happen. Let's see if it happens or not. I mean, we can see in Sweden, the skies didn't fall. So that's a fact.
Yeah.
So that's an answer for everybody that says, "Oh, no, no, because of the lockdowns, because of the masks, because of whatever, now it would have been much worse." So here is a country doesn't do it, and it's not much worse. Same goes with Belarus, same goes with Egypt, same goes with other countries.
Thailand, Tanzania.
There are many countries that are not being, you don't hear about them because, again, the media doesn't want people to know what's going on. They want people to believe and to follow an agenda.
Yeah.
Very interesting.
You know, what I think is also the case is that, you know, so far with this illusion of democracy that we've maybe had before, you still have the expectation, and you know, that's what people, you look at various news outlets and you hear a little bit of a different opinion here and there, but it's basically the same. You know, the main information is all the same, dangerous and all this, what we just said. But since I think this is, you know, it's not that you come like fresh, new to a situation like this, but you come with all this heritage of kind of expecting that you still have some sort of objectivity. And I think that's also what makes it really difficult for people to understand that this is so, for whatever reason, we don't have to go into detail, you know, but this is just this same stuff that's blown onto you, and then you think, oh, this must be true if everyone says it. You know, that's if it's raining and like it says in the news, okay, it's raining, then it might really be true. You know, that's I think that's a problem. You're in an illusion still that
but
clings with you.
It always takes us back to the explanation that Professor Lind gave us, that people haven't learned to use their brains and think.
Yeah.
It is easier because of the failures of the last 20 years in our educational system, and I know it's about as long, probably longer, that this same failure happened in the United States, because I have firsthand experience with some of it. Because of these failures, people simply accept obvious lies, like the one that he was alluding to. He was reading to us a statistic from a nursing home where they had dozens and dozens and dozens of tests, which boiled down to 18 positive cases, which of course they explain, they tell us to be infections, but 18 positive cases. But because they had done so many tests, they made 126 cases out of this. A perfect lie, but people simply believed it. Let me just translate what you said. Also, Tamir Tugal sagte, dass die Basis, die Grundlage für die Gründung des Staates Israel der Holocaust gewesen ist. Das, was hier passiert ist. In Deutschland, in Europa, veranlasst von den Deutschen. Und dass deshalb eine demokratische und natürlich auch eine jüdische Gesellschaft in Israel gegründet wurde. Die Problematik, die sich in Israel genauso ergibt wie hier, ist, dass die Menschen offenbar obedient, also gehörig oder folgsam geworden sind, und dass deshalb, und zwar deshalb, weil offenbar genau die gleichen grundlegenden Probleme dort herrschen wie im Rest der Welt oder zumindest hier in Deutschland, wie wir eben von Herrn Lind gehört haben, nämlich keine Ausbildung im selbstständigen Denken. Das Erstaunliche ist, dass hier jetzt ein deutsches Produkt, denn auch wenn Pfizer keine deutsche Firma ist, BioNTech ist die deutsche Firma, dass ein deutsches Produkt möglicherweise ähnliche oder sogar schlimmere Schäden anrichtet als das, was ein anderes deutsches Produkt vor 80 Jahren hier in Deutschland angerichtet hat. Die Gefahrenquellen sind offensichtlich, wir haben das jetzt so oft gehört, die Nebenwirkungen und die Langzeitfolgen sind nicht mal im Ansatz erkennbar bis heute. Wir haben aber, wie wir vorhin in dem Einspieler gesehen haben, jetzt schon massivste Nebenwirkungen, die man sich kaum angucken kann. Trotzdem machen die Israelis das mit. Und das Erstaunliche ist, darauf hat er auch hingewiesen, dass auch die Israelis ja sehen können, was wir sehen können, nämlich, dass es andere Möglichkeiten gibt, zum Beispiel Schweden, zum Beispiel Thailand, zum Beispiel Tansania, zum Beispiel Finnland, zum Beispiel Weißrussland und viele andere Länder mehr. Wir haben hier weitere Zuschauer, die uns darüber informiert haben, dass es in Marokko und anderen Ländern ebenfalls so ist, dass zwar irgendwie die Regeln aufgezwungen wurden, aber kein Schwein sich dran hält. In Schweden nun sind die Regeln noch nicht mal durchgesetzt worden, sondern der Anders Tegnell, der Chefmediziner, der dort die Richtung vorgibt, der hat gelernt aus der, man muss es so sagen, Verarschung, der er bei der Schweinegrippe zum Opfer gefallen ist, und er lässt sich das eben nicht nochmal gefallen. Hier wird massivster Druck ausgeübt auf ihn, aber die Schweden sind nach wie vor stolz darauf, dass sie keine Masken haben, keine Lockdowns haben und sie haben keine erhöhten Todeszahlen. 2015, sie haben ein bisschen erhöhte Todeszahlen, aber Tamir Tugal hat gerade gesagt, das war in 2015 ähnlich. Das gab immer mal so ein Auf und Ab, genauso wie bei uns. Das Problem ist also, wieso merken die Leute das nicht? Wieso verstehen sie nicht, was vielleicht ausgesprochen werden muss, nämlich da hat er eben den Anders Tegnell zitiert. Anders Tegnell hat seinen Leuten gesagt, das Gesundheitssystem, also auch die pharmazeutische Industrie, die eine große Rolle spielt im Gesundheitssystem, ist für die Menschen da, nicht andersherum. Die Menschen sind nicht dafür da, das Gesundheitssystem mit Profiten zu versorgen. Das sind Dinge, die aber offenbar noch ein bisschen brauchen, um auch bei der allgemeinen Bevölkerung anzukommen. Auch in Israel gab es ja schon erhebliche Nebenfolgen. Bisher hat die Bevölkerung aber diese offensichtlichen Wahrheiten, vermutlich aus den gleichen Gründen, nämlich einfach totales Zusammenkrachen des Bildungssystems. Es fehlt völlig an der Fähigkeit zu diskutieren, sich Gedanken zu machen, Dinge zu hinterfragen. Vermutlich aus den gleichen Gründen sind die Israelis so folgsam wie hier. The thing is, why is it that Israel got the first truckloads of vaccines when the rest of the world was still hoping that they would get it? Why is that?
Israel has an agreement with Pfizer, I think also with Moderna. Information is not so clear because the government only reveals whatever people told me to be accurate and say regime, not the government. Government is working for you. Regime may be working against you. So I will use regime. But the regime is they have they closed all the information, all the discussions under confidentiality for 30 years. Now, normally you do it when you have, you don't want anything to leak out because you have an enemy that can read what was the basis for this decision and that decision to do or avoid something. Yeah. But as far as I understand, the virus didn't learn how to read yet, the virus. So until that happens, we can all be safe that the government, regime, will be transparent with us. So yeah. We don't know exactly what happened. I know that after a lot of pressure this week or just lately, they did reveal some of the stuff about the contract that they've made with those companies, but not all of it. And it seems that they accepted, first of all, no liability for the manufacturer, which it's a problematic issue. People like me that deals with vaccines, injuries, and about also some medical tyranny are involved for years and know the consequences, like Dale Bigtree saying and Kennedy, Robert Kennedy Jr., about the non-liability of the vaccine manufacturers, which is one of the big sin of all, because they don't have the drive to make safe products. So Israel already gave up the liability for this product's safety. Mm-hmm. It is political. It's only political. We don't have professionals that they can say that they recommend the government, definitely when it was not even approved by the FDA, because those contracts were signed a few months ago already, that they could say, yes, we should do it. I mean, how can you say professionally this? We should use that thing when there are two main facts. Mm-hmm. One of the facts, it's a basis principle that anything that is not proving, any chemicals that you insert to people's body, and unless it's proving safe, it has to be considered as dangerous. That's a principle. It always has been like that. That's why it takes so many years to approve everything with the FDA. Vaccine also have a fast track. And this particular vaccine has a very, very fast track, which got the approval at the end after a lot of pressure, political pressure, with opposition within the board of the FDA. And it's very limited. And it's also considered as a trial. So in Israel, unfortunately, we are in the middle of a trial, an experiment with human beings. And another aspect to it is the mortality rate. Again, this virus is killing about less than 0.5% of the people that get it. So why would you rush and vaccinate majority of people? They're talking about vaccinate now children in Israel, pregnant women in Israel. And you know what they're basing that? And I've read some answers from professionals, like officials, mm-hmm. official health expert from the regime. They're saying, we don't have data that shows that this is dangerous for them. So obviously it should be okay.
This is
the opposite of the principle of how the medicine standards are worked, at least worked until lately.
It may have something to do with the fact that the push into Israel may have something to do with the fact that Pfizer has access to long-term medical records of people in Israel. Have you heard about this?
You're talking about that they had it or they're going to have it from now on?
They're going to have it from now on.
Of course. We know for sure that the government agreed that they will send the data, at least the mass data, which means that not necessarily with the person's name, but generally about what's going on, adverse reaction, whatever, to these companies. Mm-hmm. And on a first glance, it seems to be like a good idea, because if you already make an experiment, whether mm-hmm. it's good to do it or not, at least get the right information mm-hmm. From it. However, that has to be under a consent. We know after World War II, and again, it's symbolic, we're talking about it here in the table in Berlin. We had the Nuremberg trials. The Nuremberg trials were trials about crimes against humanity. That's the worst that you can be tried for, a person could be tried for. And then there was a realization, and then that we need to have a different rules, set of rules that we didn't have before. And I'm emphasizing this because I have a point at the end. Mm-hmm. So our fathers and grandfathers, they made a change in the doctrine, and they said, now we have a Nuremberg Code, which is dealing about anything of a medical treatment, and in particular about experiments. Then we had a progression with that, which calls the Helsinki Declaration. Yeah. Again, making those things established, and then all different countries started to adopt these principles and got them into their own legal system. So we, for instance, in Israel, we have a law for the protection of a patient. Mm-hmm. Or the rights of the patients. And one of the principles in there, it's the informed consent. So you have to give a consent. And I always explain to people, consent means that you cannot consent if you don't want to. Otherwise, there is no meaning for consent. It's either I want or I don't want. And it has to be informed. And there are details what it has to be informed. But there's another principle, the principle of privacy. There can never be a real consent if it's not private. That's why we have private elections. Mm-hmm. It's confidential, because if I'm going to vote and people knows what I'm doing, then it will affect the way, because I can be apprised or I can be denied by my friends. But if nobody knows, then it's private. I can make an independent decision. So those principles are now under a very heavy attack. And in Israel, they're making this trial, this experiment on the population. Nobody gets an informed consent. Nobody gets the extra information that you have to give in a trial, in an experiment. You have to explain also the nature of this experimental procedure, which is, by the way, what the FDA approved under an experimental phase, not just regular approval. And this affects people's decision. But I want to end with that I'm getting all day long, even when I was here, and I'm getting people approaching me. It becomes, unfortunately, the officials and the regime are trying to establish a new norm, not by law, by conduct.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
So now, for instance, in the army, because the people are young, they're over 18, they have a sovereignty to make their own decisions, so the parents cannot interfere, and that's okay. Mm. but they have a lot of peer pressure, definitely in that group of age.
Same here in Germany. And with the army and
yeah.
other...
And now it's coming to school. Next week, they don't want to start into school. Now, again, the people that can be hurt, according to the information that we have, are the elderly.
Yeah.
Why would we have to vaccinate everybody else? And also create a norm that people can ask you, are you vaccinated? Where are you going to be vaccinated? People got letters that they cannot go to back to work if they are not showing vaccination. Now, when they come to me and ask me for help, and they said, maybe I should ask them that they will take responsibility. And I'm saying, no, you have to tell them, this is none of your business, what I do and what I don't do. And this is a violation or attempt for violation of my privacy, which has a criminal side as well. You can go to the police and follow or comply. But it's not about that. It's just, we have to understand where this shift is taking society. They want to take us back before the war. They want to take us back before the time that we have developed all this new and all these concepts of human rights and privacy, which built a glue for a democratic society. So it's not going to be a democratic society anymore.
They want to get rid of
if
democracy.
if we're going to get rid of it and the top of, I would say, on the edge of where it can have can go, and they already talk about it seriously in Israel, is the what they call the green passport, which happily enough it seems to be rejected already by the European countries. But in Israel, people believe that they could not even go and travel the world without it, which is not probably not going to happen. And also it will have classes within the population. And this is in the state of Israel. So I want to mention also one thing on a personal level. My grandfathers from both sides were Holocaust survivors. And from my father's side, my grandfather, which I knew very well and I loved him deeply, he was an officer in the Red Army, and he was injured three times during the war and three times came back, because back then it was a different story how it works. And I grew up on those stories. And I grew up on the basis that we are now having our own country, that we're not being ruled by people outside, but unfortunately, there is no immunity, if we're already talking about vaccine, there is no immunity from people to be hijacked by bad guys. It might happen to one nation or another. There is a history, but no one is immune. And this year, unfortunately, I'm saying it very, very, it makes me very sad that my country represent now how a society can be hijacked by bad guys.
Well, we're going to work on this.
Yes.